Welcome to the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast, where we make retirement planning easy and enjoyable. Discover practical advice to create a retirement strategy that fits your lifestyle and budget. Get ready for market updates, intriguing finance headlines, book reviews, special guests, and inspiring case studies. So grab your favorite cup of coffee and join us at the table as we talk about everything finance and retirement. We're here to support you in achieving the retirement of your dreams. Let's jump right in.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing today?
I am doing excellent, Nick. How are you?
Fantastic. Couldn't be more excited for our special guest today. We have the privilege. We do this, well, it was every summer, but I suppose we're going to be doing it more frequently now that we're planning on having an intern twice a year. But that is, we have our spring 2024 intern, Cole, with us this morning, and he is going to give some insight into the life of an intern and what he may or may not have learned
in
the last 8 weeks or so hanging out with David.
Yeah, we didn't tell him this is actually his interview to be an intern for the rest of the spring.
Yeah. Well, I'm sweating. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. So I'm looking forward. I have listened to a couple kitchen tables in my time before coming to the firm, so it's a several months long dream getting to this point. So
pass the first test right there.
Love it.
One of our tens of listeners.
That's right. Cole, why don't you just go, why don't you kick it off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and where you're at and what you're where and what you're studying and all that fun stuff.
So right now I am a master's student at Michigan State University, particularly studying financial planning and wealth management. I will be completing that program in about 3 or 4 weeks here. Before that, I was a poli-sci undergrad that worked for the state governments. I specifically worked for a legislative aide at the state capitol. Really enjoyed my time there, but I just pretty quickly pieced together that if I really wanted to help people, the best way to do it wasn't in a government office. That's kind of my origin story that got me involved in wanting to work in the financial services world, but to do it right and to actually, not chase the quick buck and to actually have the best interests of everyday people in mind. So once I finished there, I, like I said, started at Michigan State. And for the last 2 months, I've had the great privilege of being an intern here at Shotwell Rudder Bear and been enjoying every day.
Awesome. I love that. And I have so many questions about your government experience. However, fortunately for our listeners, this is a kitchen table finance podcast and not kitchen table politics. So we'll leave those questions for another time. So
we've
tell us
that
what.
Off for the rest of the year.
I can see that you were worried a little bit there, Dave. I saw that in your eyes. Like, what is he doing and where is he going? Yeah. Where's the panic button on here? Where's the dump button? So cool. Tell us a little bit about, why you decided on going to MSU and studying finance. Give us a little bit more insight into that decision, if you wouldn't mind.
I'm a local guy to the Lansing area. I grew up in a small town called St. John's, which is about 30 minutes north of Lansing. So I was always a green and white kid growing up. I was always big into sports, particularly basketball and football. And so post high school, I actually didn't have the best grades in high school, so I was an LCC star. But after I got my act together in community college, I transferred over to MSU and finished up my undergrad there. And like I said, after I finished up with the state governments, I actually had a very short stint working for a life insurance company. The life insurance company had a posting for a financial planner and had a lot of really cool sounding buzzwords for how you're going to save everyone's financial future. And I didn't know a lot about it, but I said, sure. And I gave it a shot. And I pretty quickly realized that it was not the best products for everyone. For some people, obviously, they have some good things, but not for everybody. And as a result, I decided that I needed to go back to school to try to figure out exactly what I wanted to be and how I wanted to fit into this really big world of financial services. And Michigan State has a really, really good program they've been having for the last couple of years. Professor Schiestel is the director of that program. He's been fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. And through that program, I was able to meet you guys at the Wealth Mixer last fall at Michigan State. Yep. And the rest is history.
To me, the development of these wealth management programs over the last 10, 15 years has been one of the greatest things for the future of this industry. So we're really excited to be able to grab some talent from there to help us out every now and then. And what's out of the classes you've taken in the financial planning program, which are basically the certified financial planner curriculum, what's been your favorite so far?
I would say my favorite class so far, which has also been definitely the most challenging because I don't really have a background in it, is actually right now I'm taking a securities analysis class, which is a little bit more nitty gritty math than a lot of the obviously kind of more CFP based things are. But it's been really cool learning about company valuations. Michigan State has access to, I think they have 8 or 9 different Bloomberg terminals that you're able to use to research companies, which is really neat. And they have the Spartan Investment Fund, or I forget if it's Spartan or Student Investment Fund, but SIF. And it is a fund that is, the money's put up by the Spartan Fund. And there are a couple of professors who ultimately oversee it. But at least in theory, they're making trades based off of the recommendations of students. It is a mid-cap fund. It's the S&P 400. And it's, like I said, it's completely managed by the students. So when you're in that class, you're assigned particular stock, and then you're assigned two. But the whole concept is you go through, you evaluate the financials of the company, you try to figure out if it's overvalued or undervalued, and then you ultimately make a big pitch recommendation to the class. And then the class kind of gets to vote and decide on what they think should be done about it. So I've really, really enjoyed that class, largely because it's been a big challenge. A lot of it was kind of self-taught for me, just not having an extensive background in that, but it's been fun.
It reminds me, and as you've seen, we do very little of that hands-on evaluating individual stocks. But to have that as like a building block that you can, you know, to as a framework to understand what's going on is unequaled, really. I think that's great.
Sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, there's a lot of info on Bloomberg. There's a lot of stuff to look through.
And you can pretty much forget those big long derivative formulas after the CFP exam is over. But no one's going to ask you to calculate the beta of anything. Or
that is true.
But
that, and you can forget how to use your financial calculator.
Well, that's really true now. Come on.
One of my professors in the class once said that if you ever find yourself using the term standard deviation in a client meeting, you're doing it wrong.
So, right. That's excellent advice. Yes.
Indeed. So I'm curious, Cole, like, what are you most looking forward to in a career as a financial advisor?
My family, like I said, I'm a small town rural kid. And though that doesn't mean that my family are farmers, it does mean that my family's really blue collar. And, you know, my dad is in HVAC, my younger brother's in HVAC, my older brother's an electrician. So everybody kind of has a trade that they're able to bring to the table to assist family and the local community and things like that. I've never been somebody that loves, installing heating and air conditioners. It's not my favorite thing to do. So I knew from a pretty early age that I needed to find a different way to kind of contribute to the fam and to, like I said, the community more broadly. And I think that that's something that you can do when you are a financial advisor. Obviously, everybody needs to have the proverbial money guy, right? Somebody to talk with things about. And I would really like to be able to be that for my family, for friends, for clients, for as many people as I can be within reason. And I think it's a skill, and it's an area that is, you know, a lot of people are really underserved in, especially in rural communities. So that's something that I would love to be able to provide. I guess the long and the short is the people and being able to kind of provide a white collar trade to people that I care for. So
that's cool.
Yeah, very cool. And so true. You know, you think about the smaller communities and, you know, there's just a limited amount of access, even, you know, with obviously advances in technology and the internet and video meetings, it still doesn't, you know, trickle down to some of those small communities like we would wish. And so part of that is lack of good financial planners like you're going to be, hopefully one day.
Knock on wood.
That, you know, are in the industry or coming into the industry. So I think that's super cool. So far, what is your favorite part about financial planning, Ben?
Definitely my favorite part thus far has been the opportunity to sit in on client meetings this spring with SRB. It's been great. gotten to meet a very wide variety of clients, a lot of really cool, really interesting people, a lot of self-made people, which is really, really neat. And also just a wide variety of, you know, some people have a lot of questions. Some people want to get really down to the nitty gritty of why this and as opposed to that. And some people are a lot more content to kind of just sit back and hang out and kind of whatever the advisor says goes. So it's interesting to see how people have different relationships with their financial plan in that way.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of it probably just comes down to whether or not you personally take a big interest in it. Assume it's a lot like working in a doctor's office. You know, some patients have a million questions for the doctor, and a lot of other people are just kind of, nope, don't have any questions, no problems. So I've really enjoyed that aspect of it. You know, I got into this field for the people. So it makes sense that, you know, getting into sit in with people is my favorite part.
So the flip side, is there anything you've come across which you don't care for?
I mean, I think with any job, there's obviously the kind of more mundane administrative tasks that, like, you know, nobody really likes doing, but it's a part of the game. It's a necessary evil. And it's also, I think, a really important part of doing the job well is you can be great in a meeting, but if you're terrible with your paperwork and you're not a details person and you're not able to consistently execute and do the tasks that you need to do, then that means that you're kind of a crappy advisor. So that's not my favorite part of the gig, but I get it. And I'm getting better at it every day, and I'm mastering the software and liking the direction I'm heading.
Do you work for Michigan State University? Are you looking for solid retirement planning advice? Reach out to Dave and Nick, hosts of the Kitchen Table Finance podcast and certified financial advisors. They specialize in the unique benefit plans offered by MSU and how to capitalize on all you have available to you through your investments. Sure, you can glance at your package once a year and check some boxes, or you can make your money work for you. Find out if you're getting everything you could be with your MSU retirement plan by contacting Shotwell Rudder Bear Financial Planners at srbadvisors.com or simply search for the Kitchen Table Finance Podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. That's the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast, hosted by Shotwell Rudder Bear Financial Planners.
It's funny, we talk about that often too. It's like, you know, you can create a great financial plan, but if you can't help implement it, and that means like the details of like what needs to happen, when it needs to happen, how this is going to happen. Like there's no, like the greatest financial plan in the world means nothing if you can't put it into action. So
exactly. It's like the greatest diet in the world doesn't really matter if you can't implement it.
I've heard that.
So what do you think, what have you learned about money or financial planning that surprised you the most? Any major like aha moments, whether it's been with us or just, you know, in your classwork in general, like have you learned anything that kind of surprised you?
I mean, I would say the biggest takeaway that I've had thus far between coursework and between, you know, actually kind of hands-on experience with you guys is that there is the correct academic answer to a problem, and then there's probably the more realistic real world answer that you need to be able to implement. And which I think makes a lot of sense. Part of my background when I was 18, 19 is that I was a trainer at our local gym in town. So I did have some experience, you know, having clients and, you know, putting together workouts, taking them through the workouts and giving kind of basic nutrition advice and things like that. But you pretty quickly realize in doing that you can have an awesome killer workout and you can have the perfect diet and whatever else. But it's like, if it's too much or it's not right for that specific person, then obviously they don't stick to it. It kind of falls apart and it doesn't work. It's obviously not good for anybody. Even though in theory, obviously a lot of the academic literature for finance and for investing is to, you know, be 100% stocks and just to ride out the volatility of the market and things like that. And a lot of the academic literature is just how you need to forget about your emotions, suck it up, don't be a baby and just ride it out. When in actuality, it's like, you know, if you're 5 years from retirement and you have your nest egg and this is all the money you've ever saved up in your life and the market takes a dive 45%, like that's, you know, most normal human beings can't just kind of swallow that and smile and keep on chugging along. So that is where a lot of the art of financial planning meets the science of academia. And I think it's really, really important to actually know your clients, to actually listen to them, to know, you know, what levels of risk and volatility they're actually willing to stomach on that roller coaster, and to be able to put together a plan that actually works for them, and more importantly, that they can actually stick to.
Well said.
An important thing to learn, and you know, it's one of those. Well, I say it all the time on this podcast, which that is, if it's a math problem, I know exactly what the answer is, right? We should all be living in cardboard boxes, saving everything, spending nothing, investing to get the greatest return and not worrying about the volatility, right? Nobody has taken me up on that yet. And nor do I think they ever will, but that's kind of the point, right? Like there's a balance, and it's not just a math problem. So, and that, you know, that coaching experience that you had will serve you well, because a lot of this industry is just that, right? Like the answers are out there. We have the internet. You can get an answer to anything, but, you know, actually making that answer into reality are two completely different things.
Bringing about behavior change isn't a math equation.
Yeah. And I think to an extent too, I mean, I think, and I'm sure that you guys have run into this as well. It's like, you know, actual change doesn't really happen until they want to make the change. I mean, you can't make people change. Right. So I think that, you know, like you said, you can put together a great plan. You can put together a plan that's even something that would probably work well for them. But if they're not willing to, you know, save the amount of money and stop spending here and cut back a little bit here and make sacrifices for the future, those sorts of things, then the greatest financial plan in the world will still, you know, fall apart.
So very true, my friend. Tell us what you're most looking forward to as far as your career in financial planning goes.
I would say being able to develop some really strong kind of lifelong client relationships. I think it's really cool when you can kind of grow and mature with clients over time, especially starting at a younger age. I've heard and read a lot of really neat stories, you know, of financial advisors that have, you know, brought on clients decades previous, and they've gotten to witness, you know, the birth of children and marriages and, you know, obviously retirement and all these really cool life events that you kind of get to share in with them as you go along. And then I think that obviously adds a lot of the kind of value add that you actually get to experience as an advisor outside of just, you know, the market was up last year, the market was down last year. Because I think it's easy in this world to, you know, get so caught up in the numbers that you kind of can forget the people. And I think it's really, really cool to be able to see how your labor has actually directly helped them kind of fund and finance their life moving forward, to be able to be parents, to be grandparents, to, you know, retire to Florida, to whatever it is that they want to do. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun when you finally get to check something off the list that you've been talking to the client about for 4 or 5 years. Right, we've been saving for that grandchild to start college. Let's send out that tuition money. And it sounds funny to be excited about taking on an expense, but yeah, you'll see it. You'll get there.
Yeah, it's funny how to me how fast like time moves on. Like I've had clients since I started 16 years ago. It's like sometimes I stop and think I have known these people for 16 years. Like been actively working with them for that long. It's just crazy to me.
Yes, sir. I try not to count anymore.
Just a number. Just a number.
So I don't know if I've ever told you, but I was a political science major too, but I never did anything political science-y with mine.
Yeah. I mean, neither did I. I mean, it's just a...
Well, you came closer than I did. Anything you can think of that you picked up working for the state legislature that might be useful along the way?
I mean, that job was obviously a lot of administrative work. I mean, as any sort of an aide type job is with a legislator, but it definitely gave me a lot of experience being able to talk to constituents. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of my job, was being able to speak on the phone or to email with constituents. And particularly, you know, you get really good at listening to people's concerns, which is a lot of what financial advising is. If somebody has a concern, they're worried that they don't have the funds to get from point A to point B or what have you. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn to become a really good listener, or else you don't do well in that job. So that was, I would say, the largest strength that I took away from that was being able to sit in and listen in on conversations. And I think the really big character builders of that are, you know, any office in the world is going to have some frequent flyers, some people that are a little bit crazy, maybe, that just kind of want to have somebody to talk to, and they know that you have to answer the phone. So, you know, being able to sit in and kind of have some long, almost borderline meaningless conversations with somebody that's probably just a little bit lonely and wants somebody to chat with, those ones are kind of the character builders on the phone. But at the same time, you know, they have needs, and, you know, I'm sure along this journey I'm going to be on, there's going to be some clients that are maybe a little kooky and, you know, need to be able to, effectively communicate and listen with them too.
It's a wonderful skill in this day and age, to be honest with you, especially for this profession. Sure. So that will serve you very well. Well, Cole, Dave doesn't let me speak for him often, but I'm going to speak for both of us on this one and just say that we have appreciated you being here the last couple of weeks, a couple of months, and looking forward to the next couple, and your future in this business, I think, is very bright. And so just thank you for that. Thank you for letting Rudder Bear be a part of your experience. We appreciate that, and looking forward to what is next for you, my friend. And thanks for jumping on the show.
Thanks
with us
so much
today.
For having me. I really enjoyed my time. It's been great, and you know, you guys have, like I said, after my not great experience with life insurance companies, you guys have kind of reinvigorated my faith in people in this world. So I'm happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the internship.
Excellent.
Our job here is done.
Might have saved another one, Nick. All right.
Dave, as always, it's been a pleasure, sir.
You bet,
Nick. Until next time.
Thank you. Thanks, Cole.
Gather around and follow the Kitchen Table Finance Podcast to learn about money and simple ways you can invest right now. You can find more practical advice at srbadvisors.com and contact the team for personal planning by emailing info@srbadvisors.com.
This is a Zedia Media production.